at the same time, it's just like, y'all don't get it. Like, this was just like, has gone on for so long, and just like, that is, rape is like, besides murder, like, rape is like next on the damn rung of the ladder. Like, that is just like, to me, just like.
This is the Frogcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of the Frogcast. We are jumping here tonight to talk about some important and some big changes that have taken place in the Big 12 and specifically at Baylor University. Art Briles has been fired as the head football coach at Baylor, been there since 2008, led the renaissance of the Baylor program to a couple of Big 12 titles, a Heisman Trophy, and this morning he shared the news with the team that he had been removed by the Board of Regents as the head coach. And it has so many issues that we need to talk about. It's got issues of sexual assault and violence on campus that we can't be flippant about. It's issues for the Big 12 and you know, continued instability, as well as just all the implications that come from rivalries. College sports bring out the best and the worst from everybody, and you'll probably hear a little bit of all of that from us tonight. We got that and a whole lot more on this episode of the Frogcast. Well, welcome, everybody. We got a crowded conversation tonight. So it's Daniel and I who are always here with you on the Frogcast. Trey's not able to be with us tonight. But from Killer Frogs, which is one of our new partners that we are glad to be a part of, we have Wes and we have Sean that have jumped on here with us tonight to talk about Baylor, talk about the implications of Art Briles stepping down. Wes, Sean, we're glad to have you guys with us here tonight.
Thanks, guys. What do we call this tonight? Is it the Frogcast meets Killer Frogs Cafe?
That works for me. If you're serving up hot coffee and bacon, we can call it the Killer Frogs Cast Cafe. I'm good with that.
So right. Yeah,
I could use some caffeine tonight.
Yeah, we are recording late. We put this together on an email exchange in order to make sure that we recorded. So you're going to be driving to work tomorrow on Friday to hear the best from Killer Frogs, Frogcast, and the Killer Frogs Cafe. Well, we're just going to start with a basic question, fellas, and let's just hear everything you got to say about this. Wes, I'm going to start with you. Everybody weigh in. Can you believe that they fired Art Briles, and what was your reaction when you saw the news break this morning?
Well, I think, you know, deep down I thought that was – I mean, obviously that's what they had to do. They had no choice. That report was so damning that they had to do it, although – I was beginning to believe, like the rumor was, and everybody felt like, that they were going to do everything they could to protect the football program and then put down somebody like Ken Starr or some low-level athletic department employee and let them fall on the sword for the program. But at the end of the day, they did the right thing, but honestly, it was the only thing they could have done. They had to do that because everything goes back to the football program and Coach Briles, but also a little bit on the university because they're extremely slow to react to the Title IX, all Title IX laws, and they didn't hire an administrator as they were required to do for quite some time and didn't follow procedures and policies. So they have nobody to blame but themselves. But it's a tragedy, but it had to happen.
Yeah, I agree with Wes. I think I was kind of in that same camp. I thought that Briles was going to be protected at all costs, and until I read that report. And once I read that report, I immediately kind of switched focus and immediately thought, you know, it was the right thing to do to get rid of Briles. I mean, I'm a college professor, so Title IX is something that we live with every single semester. I mean, they train us on this stuff every single semester. So seeing those kind of violations in that report, it's very damning. And to see what the athletic department did, especially some of the administrators, and I know for the fact that Ken Starr is not going to be the only one who's going to get slapped on this. There's going to be a lot of administrators who are going to lose their job over this simply because of the fact that they've tried to suppress some of the reporting that a lot of these young ladies were making against the athletic department. It wasn't just the athletic department. It's the administration at its core. I'm kind of surprised, though, that Ken Starr has only been demoted and hasn't been let go yet. I imagine that sword will probably fall shortly. But yeah, I'm with Wes. I agree 100%. This was something that had to be done, especially after that report came out.
I was blown away. I didn't think they were actually going to do it. It's been such a kind of a mess going forward. Then this thing came out yesterday, this Kinstar. I don't know if they leaked it or whatever. And then all of a sudden, something came out where he said, oh, I want to release the entire report or have the regents let the entire full thing out. I wasn't sure to take that. So I woke up this morning actually kind of late because I work odd hours. And, yeah, they did it, man. But it's absolutely I was surprised at first and kind of happy. But I kept reading into it and it was like, this is really bad. So as much as they obviously did not want to do that, I mean, that's unfortunately, it's more important to them than anything. But that is absolutely what they had to do, and they did it.
Yeah, they absolutely had no choice. I mean, like, if you have the stomach for it, read the report from Pepper Hamilton. If you have the stomach for it, it's a summary of the report that is online now, and everything that you guys have highlighted is on there and more about how coaches met with victims and steered them away from the judicial or the legal or the legal process inside of the school, or as well as with the Waco Police Department. You'll see that they basically did their own internal investigations. I don't know what kind of defensive line coach is trained to be able to do a sexual assault investigation, but that is more than just stupidity. I mean, that is illegal, and that it's really frustrating to see that kind of stuff plays out at any college, let alone Baylor. So they did the right thing. But, you know, Sean, one of the things you highlighted is something that I did want to make sure that I just make a point of. I wrote this down in my notes here. It's not only athletes that have been the victims of from athletes that have been steered away from the proper channels that a university is supposed to have in place. There's a brave woman. I wanted to say her name. She's more than a victim. Her name is Stephanie Wuhendick. I don't know if I said your last name, Stephanie. But she reported a rape by a student, but not an athlete, to the Title IX office and got absolutely nowhere. And she has documented her experience online. She documented her conversation with Ken Starr when she finally went public. And she is one of the just many brave women that had the courage to step forward and did not get anywhere. And that is shameful. And it happened at Baylor. It happens other places, I'm sure, but it happened here. And it is awful to see this kind of come together. And just to summarize, they had no choice, because when your football coach is steering victims of sexual assault away from the proper channels, that is not their job, and that is shameful. So,
it's going to end up becoming a federal case as well. I mean, this is a federal guideline, so it's not just a simple matter of Baylor not following school policy or school rules or even a state law in this case. This is a federal law. And, you know, whether you fall on one side or the other political-wise when it comes to how Title IX's been used, in this particular instance, there's absolutely a need for these individuals to have a place to go to be able to report these sort of assaults and be taken seriously. And for this to happen at Baylor, especially in the last couple of years, it's devastating. And they absolutely had to clear out the entire athletic department after this, because I guarantee the Department of Justice is going to be coming in here very shortly, along with the NCAA, because this is going to be a federal case for Baylor.
Big deal, folks. That is a big deal. Well, Sean, you mentioned that, you know, we did have one coach that was removed in Art Briles. Do you guys think anybody from the coaching staff will be on the sidelines in September, let alone after this season ends?
The trainer?
The trainer will be left.
Does Art Briles have a towel girl? I don't know. I don't really watch much Baylor football outside of the rivalry. I don't think so. I think most of that football program is going to be retooled from the ground up.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, you look at it, and the report doesn't name coaches specifically, but it does refer to other members of the football staff, and I think they're all in some way or another complicit. And you got to remember, two members of his staff, I think his son and his son-in-law, were suspended for various violations earlier in the last season. So, I mean, there's some stench that goes all the way down there. I think, personally, I think they all have to go. I'd be stunned if they kept any of them.
Hillbilly music, man.
Well, I don't know what I did, but I'm playing Adam Rafferty. Pardon me.
Okay. As long as it's not the banjo from Deliverance, Wes, no, I'm just fine. As long as it's not that. Yeah. I know, Daniel, I know you're a big fan of Kendall Briles. Do you think there's any way that he is there this fall? On the first game, do you think he's calling plays?
I really don't know for sure, but I just can't imagine that he would be. He's too close to everything. I mean, it's just from his – if I was him, you know, I mean, that's a big kind of tarnish to be still there after everything that's happened. I would definitely probably want to move on myself, but as far as – Baylor keeping him there, there's no way. He got in trouble for recruiting violations. If the stories are true about him, what he's been telling players along the recruiting trail about the girls at school and all that, then there's no way if that's even remotely true.
Yeah, I'd be stunned. I don't know Kendall Briles. I'll probably never have an opportunity to meet him, but I just – from what I've read, I don't think I'd like him very much. But, you know, if that stories are true, like what he told Baron Browning and some of the other players, I can't even imagine. Can you imagine Gary Patterson putting up with something like that?
No way.
It kind of goes to that attitude that Gil Lieberton brought out in the Star-Telegram in his article, that this is a guy who just thought he was bulletproof. I mean, I'm talking about Coach Briles, and that kind of filtered down. You know, the fact that his son and his son-in-law were both suspended for a game or two, you know, they kind of had that bulletproof theory as well. We can do what we want, you know, and get away with it. And I'm glad justice has been served, but, you know.
Unfortunately, that kind of went off, trickled down to all the players, too. They thought they were, you know, could get away with whatever they want, and they certainly tried to.
Players are a reflection of their coach, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, you know, our players play with the intensity and passion of Gary Patterson. And you know, unfortunately, I think Briles players put up with that. We can do what we want and get away with what we want. So, anyway, yeah, sad day for football overall in the conference. But, you know, it had to happen.
Yeah, you know, there's a big difference. I think about some of the recruiting violations and controversies that have been in the news. You know, I think about Reggie Bush all those years ago, his mom got a house because he went to USC, and Ole Miss is got the NCAA breathing down their necks because they were basically giving money to poor kids so they could give it to their parents and that they could have something to eat. You know, at the end of the day, the worst violations that the Ole Miss probably committed were giving $100 bills in large volume to some poor kids. I literally could care less about that. I mean, if they get caught and it helps us get a better bowl, I'm cool with it. But in the grand scheme of the universe, I could care less that a kid from a disadvantaged situation got a bunch of money. I mean, like, this is on the hideous scale of humanity. I mean, like, these are things that we have entire departments of in the federal government to root out that took root at Baylor. And that is the part about this that I don't even think we've all wrapped our minds around how disgusting that this is. And I know people are going to say that this happens everywhere, but it happened at Baylor, and it started with a blessing from the top down, and that's the part that just haunts me about the far-reaching impacts of this. So,
well, I don't know if you could really say that this happens everywhere. I mean, I mean
sexual assault happens everywhere. That's the part. When I say it happens everywhere,
right,
I think sexual assault happens everywhere. I don't think cover-ups happen everywhere.
Right. Well, I would agree that, you know, there's definitely a case to be made as far as the rate of sexual assault on campus. But this is the true definition of win at any cost. And when we see things, at least from our perspective, from TCU's perspective, and we see what happened to the program in the 80s, and we see what happened to SMU, and we hear about things like you mentioned at USC and now at Ole Miss, it gets to the point where we're all kind of assuming that when we're talking about a dirty program, it's about paying players. And this is something that's on a scale. It is massive. It goes well above and beyond what we would normally see as far as cheating in football. And this is very vile. And it puts Baylor, unfortunately, in a very bad group of colleges that have done things like this, covering up sexual assault for a period of time. And I just don't see how any of that staff can possibly make it through this unscathed and still on that sideline next year. It just, for me, it's just not possible. And I honestly think that the college did the right thing, but it's just a first step. There's going to be a whole lot more fallout from this moving forward.
Guys, you got any further thoughts on everything that we've talked about this far? Any, you know, burning hot takes in terms of the firing of Art Briles and what they need to do moving forward as a university and a football program?
Well, they just have to establish themselves. I mean, this is going to take a lot to get their image rebuilt and restructured, and that's going to be a ground-up type job ahead of them. You know, they're just beginning to clean house, and God knows, like you said, Jeff, who else is yet to come. But, you know, it's going to be a long haul for them, because I still think there's a lot more dirt out there that's going to be uncovered, and it's going to be some rough days ahead for them.
Something I kind of thought of earlier today was that now that, you know, Briles is gone and they're going to start kicking out some of these coaches, are more people going to feel safe enough to come forward because they're not have to be, you know, fear of retaliation or whatever it is they were calling it? I just thought maybe it could get that much worse because that many more people could come out and say, oh, yeah, I was too. But now I'm not afraid of it because these people are gone.
Well, I think it may be like the Bill Cosby situation where once the floodgates opened and people started coming out, more became comfortable saying, you know, I was a victim of that as well. And that's part of what I meant when I said there's more to come, probably the worst days are ahead of them. I mean, there's also the lawsuit factors, because the report basically validated everything the girls said and backed them up to the hilt. And so there's some others that may come out and say, now this has all been validated, I need to let my voice be heard. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. That's all I can say.
Well, the financial impact is going to be huge.
Oh, huge.
I mean, Baylor still owes money on that stadium that they have there on the Brazos. And then you're going to end up with who knows how many lawsuits there's going to be filed against the university. I mean, and then when you talk about the compounding factor that they're not going to be able to really have the same kind of winning football program for quite some time. So they're not going to see the same kind of revenue or donations coming into that university for a while. Yeah. I think that this is a very crippling kind of report. And like you said, it's just the first step. There's a lot more that's going to come out of this before we get down to the dregs of this whole situation.
Yeah.
They are looking at a massive lawsuit. They got so much debt for that stadium, and who knows how many people are going to end up in a civil case on this, on top of the federal case that you were talking about, Sean. But yeah, I can envision what you're saying, Daniel, happening, that more victims will feel empowered to come forward because the threat of repeated violence, of repeated assault, is no longer looming there. And I hope and pray that they do feel safe to come forward and seek the justice that they deserve. I really do hope and pray that. Well, this is going to have some implications not only for Baylor, but for the rest of the Big 12. I mean, I think it's safe to assume that Baylor will slip to the middle of the pack this year, and who knows how far down, considering coaching turnover that's still in question. On top of the class of 16 that they signed back in February, they are all likely going to be able to transfer without ever losing if they never showed up on campus, without losing a day of eligibility. They'll be released from their letter of intent. Who knows if that's going to be able to be applied to the current players that are there, but their roster is going to be a shell of what it was for 16.
If you use Penn State as a template for that, that's how Baylor got Sean Oakman, if you'll remember. He was a Penn State player.
Talk about irony.
Yeah, that is irony right there, man.
The NCAA released those guys and said, if you want to transfer under the circumstances, you're allowed to do so and won't have to sit out. So, you know, he transferred to Baylor. Of course, he had a police record. Okay, I promise I wouldn't do that. So, all right, but let me back up. So,
he had an incident.
He had an incident, and so anyway, he ended up at Baylor. But there's every chance that NCAA will do the same thing. And as far as the recruits go, they've already lost one guy who had committed for next year, and he said, no, I'm not going to do it.
The quarterback they've got committed is all but decommitted, I read this evening, too.
Yeah, and so it's...
And it's nasty on social media, too. Even the ones that decided at the very end not to go to Baylor. They're all piling on as well. So, yeah, that recruiting fallout is going to be a rough one.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge. It is going to be huge. So, Sean, I'll put you on the spot here. 3 years from now, will Baylor have gotten 9 wins again by the end of the regular season?
I think it depends on a couple of factors. Number one, who do they get to replace Art Briles? That's first and foremost. Wes and I were kind of talking a little bit about this earlier today, and the biggest issue here is just timing, because and it feels so cheap talking about this after all the things we just talked about in the first segment. But if we put that aside for a minute, just think football based on your question. If they go out and try to find a top flight college football coach to take this on right now, keep those recruits happy, keep the current players happy, because a lot of the current players right now are trying to stand behind Art Briles. There's going to be a huge uphill battle for somebody like that. I just don't know if there's somebody on the market right now that Baylor can go to who actually fits that bill. So then you're ending up trying to find somebody maybe in the pro rank to come in and be able to have maybe a big splash hire, or someone who can come in and just kind of like change up the environment and just try to get the program straight and back on track with the current group, and then try to recover the 2017 recruits as much as possible and any fallout from the 2016. If they're able to go that route, I think 9 wins will be an amazing feat. I'm not going to say it's out of the realm of possibility given the current talent that's there, but at this point in time, I would give the odds or the chances of them actually doing that probably around 15%. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, if you use Penn State as a template once again, you've got that's what they did. They went they got rid of Joe Paterno, and who wants to follow a coaching legend? But there's always going to be a guy out there that wants a head coaching job and want to prove his worthiness. But they found, I can't remember his name, but the guy who's now the head coach at the
O'Brien.
Oh, Bill O'Brien, yeah. He came in from the pro ranks, stayed there a year or so, got him a little more on the right track, then jumped ship and went to the pros. That might be an option for him. I don't know. Like I said, I think there's always somebody that's going to be out there willing to take his first head coaching job and show what he can do. But under the circumstances, they're going to have a special guy to come in there and clean that mess up, because it's particularly the timing. I mean, my gosh, you've got now, 3 months to put together a staff, put together a system, and you've got players recruited for a particular type of system. It's and you're not going to have the benefit of a spring training with them either. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, let's be honest. It's Waco. It's not Penn State. It's Waco. Yeah. So, I mean, that's against them as well. I mean, Art Briles was kind of almost the perfect fit for Baylor at the perfect time. I don't think that you're going to find that same kind of lightning in the bottle sort of hire, even if you go to the pro ranks. I don't know who in the pro ranks is going to look at Baylor and Waco and think, well, yeah, sure, I'll take a chance, I'll do that. And like you said, Wes, I mean, you know, we'll call it a gimmick or call it genius, but that system that Briles was running down there, those players are recruited specifically for that system. I don't see another coach coming in being able to run the same system, so they're going to have to change that all up, and I don't know how the personnel is going to be able to react to whatever new system the new coach puts into place.
No, and every coach has got his own variation on that that spread offense, and Briles certainly had his. His was kind of a mashup of a Mike Leach type spread combined with a Bill Yeoman veer. And, you know, they were heavy on the run game and were very good at it. And so, yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, on defensive side, a coordinator can probably make all that work right. On offense, you know, the next guy may be more running. Who knows? I mean, I keep saying it, but it's true. It's going to be a mess.
Well, the
real upside is that getting rid of Phil Bennett is most definitely going to improve their defense.
That is true.
I thought we wouldn't pile on this call now. Come on.
I couldn't resist that. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's true. They're gonna take a step back, and Phil Bennett is definitely not gonna is gonna help things a little bit by him being gone. Yeah. Well, one of the other things is I think this is going to have huge implications on whether Waco is going to get a Papacito's or an Omni Hotel. I heard there was rumors of a Chipotle, so I don't know if all that's going to still happen now because Art Browse is gone.
Oh, man. Who knows?
I know. We always like to do an update on the local Waco economy, and they're going to lose out on all these great things that they've been selling to recruits. So curious how that's going to shake out. So
is that Whole Foods open down there yet? Maybe they want to rethink that deal.
Maybe they do. You know, one of the timeline that you guys are laying out is going to be messy. If they stick with some kind of triage staff through the 2016 season, I mean, they are flushing it down the toilet on a recruiting class. And if they stick with
Hello?
Any kind of, Trey, is that you, man?
Hello.
Hello, Trey Fallon. Thanks for hopping on, my friend.
Hey, Trey.
All right, we're going to put you on the spot right here, midsection, Trey. Tell us your first thoughts on finding out that Art Browse got fired, man. We want to hear all your hot takes, all of that long ESPN experience you got in 1 second here. Oh. I hope you're recording this, Daniel, because he just told me he got booted off.
Hey,
yeah, I'm not sure what's happening.
Can y'all hear me right now?
I sure can, man.
Oh, okay, all right. Sorry, guys. I hope I didn't interrupt anything. I was saying hello, and then I realized my cord wasn't plugged in, and then.
Cool. Well, Daniel will be able to doctor that up, so don't worry about that.
All right. Sorry.
All right. Here's the deal, Trey. Tell us. Tell us what your thoughts were when you saw that Art Browse got fired, man.
Honestly, so I was on, obviously, I was at work, okay? So this week has been really weird for me, and I was at work, and I'm not, like, saying I was, like, one of the first, but I think I was one of the first. I got on Killer Frogs, like, at the same time the Art Briles got fired ? Post like went up, and I like clicked on it, and it had the tweet from Craig Smoke, I think it was, and I actually know his dad, and he's a really good guy, not to get away from it, but that's the reason, like, I saw that and I was like, oh, I know who that is. So it's like a pretty reputable Baylor source, like the So the poster had posted that tweet, and I was like, oh, shit. So I got on Twitter right away, and I just retweeted and said, wow, because honestly, just first reaction is I did not think Briles was going to get fired in this whole thing. Like, I thought Ian was going to be gone. I thought Star was going to be gone. There might be numerous other people that were going to be gone, but I thought that whatever happened – I don't know. I just felt like Briles was not going to be touched. You know, you've seen the Moses things being thrown out and all of that. I just knew, like, they would do anything they could do not to fire that guy. And what my initial reaction was just mind blown. I did not think we would see it. And my initial reaction was, wow, I can't believe this is happening. And wow. Like, I do want to give props to Baylor, their board of regents or whatever, and I guess we can get into this more as this kind of goes on, but I don't know. There's a part of me that wants to give them props, but at the same time, it's like, oh, my God, it took this long. I don't know. So I don't know how y'all want to hash this out, but I feel like there's a lot to talk about here.
there's a
lot to talk about here tonight.
All right. Well, I'm gonna throw you the question that we were hashing through when you got in here, when you got back from your date night. All right. So let's say, is it better to hire a coach right now who will take the job, knowing that what that says about them, that they're willing to walk out on their team at this point from where they're leaving? Is it better to go find as good a coach as you can right now, or is it better to let this staff kind of stick together the best they can, you know, bring in a figurehead, and then do a search and have a coach by Thanksgiving weekend?
Well, this is what I think should happen is I'm not going to lie, I've been on Baylor fans. I can't sign up there. Like, I guess way back in my, like, 20s, I got banned at some point. So, like, I can't sign up or whatever, but I still do when big situations like this rise up, like after the 61-58 thing or like after we beat them last year, like I like to read their reactions occasionally because they're so delusional. So I have read their kind of remarks, but I think just based, and I know message board kind of comments aren't necessarily what you should base a lot of comments or, you know, thoughts on, because it's kind of, you get a lot of the hardcore fan base. Kind
except
of,
for Killer Frogs. We're all reason.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, we're all reasonable on the TCU fan sites, but when you visit other ones, you shouldn't kind of necessarily take it for granted. I don't know, but I guess my point is that Baylor fans seem to have this kind of thought of they can get, I don't know. I've one name, I guess, that kind of annoyed me that I, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw some of them throwing out Fuente, and I'm like, well, yeah, you know, great, great thought, great idea, but he just took a job at Virginia Tech. Like, why would he take that job in Waco? And so for me, I don't know, when you just put out any name and I'm going to say, well, okay, one, who knows what the NCAA is going to do? They could either level the hammer or do absolutely nothing to Baylor. Like, there's complete, like, opposite ends of the spectrum on what could happen to Baylor University football right now. There is still so much up in the air, whereas they could get the death penalty or they could, nothing could happen, and the NCAA could say, well, you fired your coach, you're going to get rid of these other coaches and, you know, everything's okay. So you don't know what's going to happen there. Two, you're in Waco, Texas.
That's a reoccurring theme tonight.
I mean, that's like the biggest thing. You're in Waco, Texas. And I mean, I know they have a good stadium, or a new stadium, not a good one, a new one. And, you know, not just to completely trash them. I mean, I hear their facilities are good. I'm personally not a fan of the stadium. I'm a TCU fan, so I'm going to say our stadium looks better. I mean, they're both basically the same age, you know. Ours is maybe two or three years older. So they're all basically the same age, you know. And I think TCU, I think they're on a basically, and if you just want to say they're on an equal playing field, I won't necessarily argue with you just because I'm biased and I think TCU Stadium looks better. So let's just say they're on an equal playing field. Well, TCU's in Dallas-Fort Worth, one of the most, you know, fertile recruiting grounds in the United States, whereas Waco is in Waco. Like, it's hard to get there. It's, you know, there's not a lot of cool things there. I'm not saying this just to talk crap as a TCU fan. I'm just saying that's the reality. So I'm curious. I'm just really curious to see who is going to be the next coach at that university.
Yeah.
Mac Brown.
Mac.
You say that, and I've read a couple things. Not that it's like reputable things, it's message board fodder. But could you believe it if Mac Brown freaking went there, or Mike Leach, like one of those two? Like, I don't know if I want to see either one of those guys go there. I would like them to see. I would like to see them stick with Bennett, because it's just gonna be. They're going to have to probably deal with him for a year, but then they're just going to have to clean house and get rid of him, because Bennett is not good news. Like, no. They need to get rid of him, and it just sucks because this is the bad part about all of this is, and let me rephrase this. Women getting raped is the worst part about all of this, but what hurts, I guess, from an athletic standpoint and just speaking strictly athletics, is Baylor was one of the strong teams of the Big 12, not only in football, but in basketball, men's and women's basketball. And not necessarily that the basketball teams are going to fall off because of this, but football, we all know, brings in the big bucks. That kind of hurts the Big 12 is, you know, one of the better teams is now, we can't necessarily say they're down. You know, there's a lot to be, you know, discovered, a lot to be talked about here. What's going to go on with this university? You know, who's going to be their next coach? But, you know, that was one of the better teams in the Big 12. It was TCU and Baylor have been holding this conference up. So what, you know, what happens to this conference, especially right now? Like, it's, I don't know, man. It's like a turmoil situation. It's such a deep, deep issue.
Like, it is a deep issue, like, man. From a
criminal to a personal to an ethical, like, there are so many layers of this issue, guys.
Yeah. Oh man, Trey, I love having you on here, man. Thanks for stepping in. It is good to hear your energy around this.
I told the wife that we would go out to date night, but if I made it back in time, and I was a little bit late, but when you said you were still recording, I was like, yes, let's.
How many violations did you rack up on the way back?
Not that many, but dude, honestly though, like, there's been some articles or like tweets that I've read that have even talked about like completely like blowing up the whole like football program. Like, this is not, I don't know, like, if this was Texas or if this was USC or Alabama, there's a part of me that thinks this would be a much, much bigger situation than it is since it's Baylor. But on the other side, I'm like, well, would it be? I don't know. Like, dude, like, it's weird because, man, I don't know. It's like, it's weird because it's Waco. But, like, dude, this is like, there was 9 accounts of rape. And I think, honestly, I think a lot of men think that women lie about this type of stuff. And I think a lot of men think that, I don't know, that there's just false accusations. I don't know. I think this topic is just, it's a very sensitive topic, man, and I don't think a lot of people take it seriously. And I think with football being involved, it makes it even more like a weird situation. Because I mean, as a Baylor fan, obviously, man, like, you don't. I could see where Baylor fans leading up to this would be skeptical about accusations, but then the whole report comes out today from Pepper Hamilton, or I guess not the whole report, just kind of a basic summary. And I would love to read the whole report to see actually who did what and, you know, what actually transpired. But I don't know, man, it's just such a weird topic, especially as a TCU fan, supporter, season ticket holder is. And I posted this like honestly, like, I had a smile on my face today because Art Briles got fired, and I don't know if that was good or bad, but, and I'll just say this, like, you know, there's a part of me that is like, man, that's bad. But like, Mac Engel, you know, all Frog fans have their opinion of him, commented and said, nobody wins in this situation. And I commented back and said, everybody wins in this situation because Art Briles is a slime ball, and especially the women of Baylor win in this situation. And I just feel like, as an outsider looking in, I think TCU fans, I think Texas fans, I think Texas Tech fans, I think Oklahoma fans, I think they all looked at Art Briles and they saw he was a slime ball, man. Yeah. I've always thought that guy was a slime ball, and I'm glad it finally came out. And it's bad, and I feel bad that it took for women to get raped. Like, I feel so bad about that situation, man. I am a woman. I'm not saying I'm a feminist, but I love my mother. I love my wife. I'm a female supporter. I feel strongly about women, and that drives me crazy. But I'm glad it finally came out, man. I'm freaking glad it finally came out, because that guy is a slime ball.
Trey, that is
making it up. Like, it came out in an investigation. Like, no TCU fans are making it up. Like, yeah. It's the truth. Oh. Like, it is the truth. And it just, like, finally. Like, I feel like it's, like, finally. That's what I feel like.
I love it, man. That was a cathartic rant, Trey. I can't. I'm going to listen to that two or three times.
Here. I just had to get it out because that's what it is. Like, there's a part of me inside that's like, once, like, honestly, like, fuck it. I don't care. Like, I'm a man, but it makes me want to cry. Like, that this happened to nine women that like went on record with it. Like, who knows what else happened? Like, who knows? And it's just like, damn, like, I don't know. It's crazy. It is crazy.
That is crazy, man. Well, fellas, we're gonna head towards wrapping things up here. Wes, I want to start with you, and let's just make our way around. What's your parting thought to the Frog faithful, to the people that tune into this every week? What's your summary thought about what we take away from what happened today with Art Browse getting canned at Waco?
Well, my first thought is that I'm glad that Baylor did the right thing. I don't think they had any choice in the matter, and I felt somehow just get the feeling that they felt like their backs were against the wall and they had to do it. But as a Frog fan, I'm sitting here thinking I should be listening to that theme from the movie, the Wicked Witch is Dead. What was that movie?
Wizard of Oz.
That's what I thought of too.
you know,
Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead.
Yeah, and I watched that video briefly this afternoon where Gary Patterson, remember when Ahmad Dixon was ejected from the game and then stayed in on the sidelines and making gestures to our fans and laughing, and I looked at that and I said, you know, I bet Gary Patterson's happy tonight. So anyway, it's sad. It was the right thing to do. I'm glad they did it. I'm sorry they're going to have to go through the hell that they're going to have to go through. But you know what? They brought it on themselves, and they'll come out stronger for it in the end. But right now, they're paying a price, and they're going to have to suffer.
Sean, you got any closing thoughts on top of what Wes shared with us?
Yeah, I just say this whole situation just kind of brings perspective. We're all avid fans. I mean, we love college football. We love TCU, and we absolutely love what Gary Patterson has done for the university and for our team. But when you see the allegations, and if you haven't read that report, you need to go read that report, because there's a lot of stuff we haven't even talked about. But it's just damning from page one to page, what is it, 14? But it puts a lot of stuff into perspective. I mean, you see the way that Patterson runs this program, and a lot of us always have questions about, well, you know, should this guy have been suspended? Should that guy have been kicked off the team? Shouldn't this guy have given a second chance? But at the end of the day, Patterson runs a very tight ship, and I think we should all look at that and praise him for what he does for TCU and for his players mainly, and for the students above all else, and realize that these are students that we are talking about. And when you have a situation like what happened at Baylor, and you've got active faculty and staff and players that are covering up situations that go all the way into the administration of just absolutely heinous acts like this, and we're talking about a sport, and these women's lives that have been, you know, turned upside down. And in a lot of cases, they're going to require a lot of help to get past this. But it's just, to me, this is, like you said before, it's the epitome of win at any cost. And unfortunately, when you lose the perspective of the fact that this is a game and that these are students, and at the end of the day, that your job is not necessarily a football coach to win games, it is to help mentor and lead these men and make them better men. It really kills me to see this happen and to see a university from top to bottom really just lose that perspective.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That is well said. Well said. Daniel, you got anything for us on the way out?
Darn Baylor.
Well, you've been the most vocal critic of Bryles long before, long before all this crap came out. You have been driving the train on Killer Frogs, especially with F. Baylor and Darn Baylor. But were you shocked that this happened?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's important as much as Baylor seemed to have lost its way, you know, and gotten kind of addicted, if you will, to winning and all the money that comes with it and the image that they've gotten out of it. I was really surprised that they did it. I guess they you know, like Wes said, their back was to the wall, and that's exactly what they had to do. You know, it was kind of a do or die, because if they would have kept, you know, that and then just maybe push Star around, the backlash would just be outrageous. So anyway, but I'm still a little shocked that it actually happened, because I wasn't sure I would ever see it come to light. In fact, I was thinking that report was going to kind of clear the air a little bit, because Baylor hired them kind of for that reason, not to, you know, tear everything down that they've worked to build, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. The funny thing is, I'm on the 24/7 site that Jeremy Clark runs, and you pay $7 and get to read direct message tweet interviews with recruits and such. But they let you look at other boards. You can't post on them. Otherwise, I'd have been kicked off of the Baylor board like Trey was. But I was looking at the Baylor message board, and all the way up till this morning, their guys were reporting like, hey, I've got an inside source. Briles is going to be cleared by this report. Everything's good. Star's going to be the fall guy. And then just to see the hammer get dropped at like 10:30, I'm like, holy crap.
Well, did you guys, not to interrupt, sorry, but did you read, and not to put it all on him because, you know, we all have our own thoughts, but did you read the Chip Brown article about the kind of the last 36 hours of this situation that he tweeted out on Horns Digest? Just it went from kind of – it did kind of go from Star somewhat being the fall guy, and I guess then he came out with the, well, I didn't see this anything until 2015, and so he didn't necessarily want to take the rap for all this. And then I guess the Board of Regents kind of all had a huge kind of meeting where everybody, it was kind of just a free-for-all, and they all kind of came to the agreement that let's all do the right thing and, you know, let Briles go. Because I think originally, you know, it was just going to be Star, and then Star said, let's release the whole report, and then it just kind of spun. Did y'all read that kind of as the same thing I did, is things kind of took a drastic spin in the last kind of 24 hours, really?
Yeah, it became clear that they wanted to make Star the fall guy, and it became clear that Star was not going to go down without a fight. And he thought, if they're going to try to burn me, I'm going to burn his house down. So that became kind of the mojo that I thought was going on. And, you know, Chip Brown, as we've kicked around on this, he knew what he was talking about in this. He had a pretty – one of the things the Baylor fans were all pissed about was, why does Chip Brown have better sources on the Baylor board than we do?
Right.
Yeah, and he clearly did. The other guy, if you want to get on Twitter and read some weird stuff, Joe Shad from ESPN, he was posting tweets – mid-morning as if he was sitting in the Board of Regents meeting. I mean, like, he had some very detailed accounting, as if they were quotes being shared in the room, and he just had his iPhone out posting them. So if you really want to get into the weeds on that, there's a good source to go look at.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I did want to note this, and this will be our last word as we wrap it up here, guys. First of all, thank you guys on impromptu putting this together tonight. Wes and Sean, I appreciate you guys coming on. And
you bet.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, I'm glad to have you guys on here. We're glad to be part of Killer Frogs. It means a lot to us that you guys put up with our really bad podcast. So
not just a bad podcast. That should be our
name. Yeah, not just a bad podcast. That's right. Not just another bad podcast. So, but, the other thing, I was actually combing through looking at the history of our podcast a couple weeks ago, and the very first podcast we did was for the Frogcast was the week that the Sam Okawachu story broke, and that was the very first topic that we ever talked about on this show. And it's kind of ironic here that this whole thing has come full circle. And if you the day before that story broke, if you would have said Art Briles was going to get fired within the year, and you would have thought he committed murder or something. That was the only way it was going to happen. But that week that story broke, Jessica Luther and Dan Solomon from the Texas Monthly were the ones that broke this story. And the Waco Tribune was not looking at it. None of the local media was covering it. These two kind of rogue writers were following the story of the Okawachu rape case there in Waco. And that kind of kicked that was the thing that opened Pandora's box to get us to where we are at today. And so I suppose I'm going to do my job here as the chaplain of the Frogcast here. I'm going to just share a couple of stats with you, and I'm going to let this be the last thing that we're talking about tonight here. But you're more likely to be sexually assaulted as a woman if you go to college. And 1 in 5 women that enter college will be subject to some kind of sexual assault, and only 1 in 8 will report it. I'm going to reckon that like 95% of our listeners are guys. And so, guys, I just want to give you some encouragement and some empowerment that when we stand up against this shit, it has so much more authority, right or wrong. It shouldn't mean that, but it does. So every guy that's listening to this, I want you to do what Trey said. I want you to love your wife. I want you to love your mama. I want you to love your daughter. And I want you to stand against this. I want you to stand against guys that make references to it and make jokes about it. I want us as men who love college football to know that you can love college football and stand against this kind of abuse and assault and harassment that has no place in an institution of higher learning, that has no place in a faith-based school, whether it's TCU or Baylor, that has no place in any kind of humane society. And I hope that all of those women that had the courage to come forward and those that haven't yet will find the healing and the hope that they need to overcome this garbage that they did not ask for but got forced upon them. And that is what I am praying for in their lives.
Well said.
Well, fellas, thank you so much, Sean and Wes. It was great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, glad to have you. And Daniel and Trey. Trey, appreciate you showing up and making that point loud and strong,
hey,
my friend.
Anytime. Anytime.
All right, folks, for the Killer Frogs Cafe, frogcast.com, we are glad to have you with us, and we will be back soon, hopefully talking nothing but football.